and welcome to Detoxification Part 3, all about emotional detox. Emotional detox is just as important as physical detox, and you're going to learn a lot more about that. There's a wonderful PDF document which goes through all about emotional detox, and the following presentation was excerpt from another presentation in the Green Cleanse where we talked about emotional detox and ways to handle those emotions rather than just turning to food to comfort us. A lot of emotions come up during detox. A lot of anger, a lot of irritability, a lot of frustration. Part of that is because all the different organs have emotional components. And we have a really nice audio that was from my radio show that talks all about those emotions and which organs are pertaining to which emotions. So enjoy the presentation. And I just want to make sure that you remember that the information in this presentation is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. It's not intended as medical advice. It's intended as a sharing of knowledge and information from my clinical experience and my research and education to you. And I recommend if you're under the care of a doctor for any health condition that you make sure that you discuss this information with them before you get started. So let's begin. You know it's out of control when you find yourself so distraught, so frustrated, angry, upset, or hurt that you just want the pain to go away. You just want it to go away. So you reach for a candy bar, ice cream, chocolate chip cookies, whatever happens to be closest at the moment, just to shut off the pain. That's when it's out of control. And that's when addressing the underlying issue is really important. Really important. Having strategies for shifting. We're all going to have situations that make us angry and upset. I have them, you have them, everyone has them. It's how we handle them. How we handle them that makes the difference. And all the difference in the world between whether we reach for food to fill a hole or we think about what we really need and we give it to ourselves. It began so innocently. Oh, your knee hurts. Here, have a cookie. Oh, have a lollipop. Or it was always going to grandma's house. And at grandma's house, she always had the chocolates in the drawer or out on the counter for us so that we can get filled up. So eating the chocolates came to mean being loved because grandma loved us. It all began innocently, but now it can be out of control and it's causing you to have hormonal imbalances, digestive imbalances, respiratory imbalances, blood sugar imbalances. And can be leading, paving the way to those serious things that we all want to avoid. Heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes. Eating those lollipops is a surefire way to get you on the path towards diabetes. You know, not knowing what your genes are makes a huge difference. When you don't know whether you have that gene that predisposes you, you don't know how careful you have to be. And my feeling is when in doubt, leave it out. I'm just going to assume that my genes are bad and that I have to be good to them. I have to do the very best I can. So there's a variety of toxic emotions, and I recommend that you think about which of these you live in and how can you shift them in better ways than reaching for food. Sadness, hate, shame, jealousy, hopelessness, self-righteousness, worry, greed, anger, and guilt. They cause us to go into the part of our nervous system I like to call the lizard brain. It's actually a physical part of your brain, the back part of your brain. And it's the part that's primitive. Early creatures had it. And the use of it is get the heck out of trouble. It's all it knows how to do. And when you're in these emotions, you're in your lizard brain. And lizards don't know anything but fight or flight. To make good choices, to think long term, to look ahead to what's best for you. In the long haul, you need to be accessing your wizard brain. That's right in the front of your brain. The wizard brain, the prefrontal cortex. The part of the brain that we as humans have that lower level animals don't. It's what differentiates us. And when we use our prefrontal cortex to visualize what we really want and make choices to get it, we are going to be moving, putting behind us emotional eating. One of my clients said she passed on this quote to me, and I absolutely, absolutely love it. She said, "Don't exchange what you want the most for what you want in the moment." Sometimes in the moment, you just want the sadness to go away. You just want the shame or guilt or jealousy to go away. You just want to feel good in that moment. And you think that eating chocolate cake is going to give that to you. But what you really want is the energy for that trip, for that relationship, for that job, for that career, for that child, for you, for that joy. That's what you really want. But you trade it when you reach for the chocolate cake. You trade it when you reach for the coffee. You trade it when you reach for those things that we've talked about throughout the prep week and the green cleanse week that inhibit your ability to cleanse and keep your body healthy. So don't exchange what you want the most for what you want in the moment. So I've got an emotional eating strategy, and we've included some of this in the program. You want to reprogram the pattern. And the way you do it is you identify the triggers. You establish strategies for handling those triggers. So what typically sets you off? Every time I go to my mother's for dinner on Sunday, she gets me into that shame and guilt mode. And all I want to do is eat chips. Okay? Identify the triggers. When I feel, fill in the blank, I usually reach for, fill in the blank. So what can you do instead? That's the second part, is establishing strategies for handling these emotions, these triggers. What can you do differently? Well, what can you do to make yourself feel better about yourself before you go to your mom's? How can you reprogram that relationship to say, you know what, I love mom, but I don't need her approval. And I may never get it, because if she approves of me, I may not be the person I really am. I may be the person she wants me to be. So letting go of the need for approval is one of the strategies, one of the ways that you can handle things. Being prepared and having alternative things you can do when you're feeling that way instead of reaching for food. So when I feel sad and I want to reach for chips, when I feel angry, frustrated, whatever the word is, and I want to reach for the chips, what I could do instead is run a hot bath and spray some lavender oil in the air and lay in the tub and soak, and I will feel so much better. This is going to help you to create new neural pathways in your brain. It's common, it's normal to go back to the old patterns because they've been imprinted in your brain. There's been circuits that are imprinted that say, mom's house, shame, I feel ashamed, chips. Reprogram it. It'll take a few times, but you can reprogram it. When you look at neurobiology, we know that there's shortcuts and long cuts. Right? When you first get exposed to something you've never seen before, your brain is processing it through a series of steps. So it's stimulus and then a whole bunch of thought processes and connections in between and then response. When that's been repeated a number of times, it's stimulus response and it goes through the shortcut. It doesn't have to go through all those other neurons. So it seems instantaneous, but there's still that patterning. You can retrain that. Okay, the heart map that I've taught you throughout this is important for it. So just go ahead and put your hand over your heart, your right hand over your heart, your left hand over your belly. Deep breathe. Fill your lungs completely. Breathe as if you're breathing right into your heart. And allow yourself to feel appreciation. You can look around you in the room for something you appreciate. Maybe you have a picture of a vacation hanging up there. I have a picture of my family from about 3 or 4 years ago at a wedding, a family wedding. It's really close by. I have a whole shelf in my office with all these little trinkets that I can look at and it can shift me. I have some fairies and some mermaids and some flowers and just beautiful things, trinkets, beads, crystals, lots of them. They hang and they adorn the shelf.
That's my little de-stress altar. Have an area like that that you know you can look at to shift how you feel. When I look at those things, I smile. When I take a deep breath and I pretend I'm at the ocean, my whole body shifts. You can retrain. I've learned to do this, and I was Miss Type A plus, 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 plus. Everything set me off. And a lot of you have been with me for a while, and you've been on calls with me where technology failed and things weren't going right, and I managed to maintain my cool and find ways out. Okay? That you can do too. So you identify the triggers. You establish strategies for handling them. That'll create new neural pathways in your pathway. You'll rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat until you break free from the old ones and you've established new stuff. It may not be easy, but it's doable and worth it. It's doable and it's so worth it. It's so worth it. I just can't begin to tell you how worth it it is. So let's look at your emotional eating strategy and how to do it. How to identify the triggers. Make a list of all the foods that you've used to soothe your emotional pain. Identify the foods you find addictive. Like, you know, celery may not be an addictive food for you. Like, oh, I got to eat more. But maybe M&Ms are. Maybe dates are. Could be good, healthy foods, but that are addictive. If they are addictive, if you feel like you can't stop eating them once you get started, put those in the list. Then explore all the circumstances that trigger your emotional eating. Like I said, you know, going to mom's on Sunday for dinner, or having a test, right, if you're in school, or whenever my son does X. Or for me, one of the ones was having to place limits on my four-year-old because I knew he was going to go ballistic and I just didn't like to handle it. That would set me into a frenzy. And then name the emotions that are most likely to trigger you to soothe yourself with food. Is it anger? Is it fear? Is it frustration? Any one of those or others. Make a list. Make a list. So that's how you identify the triggers. That's step one. Identify the triggers. So step two. Recall what prompted you to have the most recent emotional eating episode. Maybe it was last week, maybe it was last month, maybe it was early this morning when you felt out of control with food. And then think it through. This will help you to identify the triggers. Was it fear, frustration, anger, despair, insecurity, loneliness? Was it a feeling like you're just not good enough? Don't we all know that one? We learned that when we were little too. Or did someone say something that made you feel like a small child and you couldn't do anything right? Think about what triggered that most recent one. It's a great starting point. The sad truth about emotional eating is that food can distract you for a little while. But as soon as you finish eating, that original hurt is going to resurface. And it's going to be accompanied by a feeling of guilt and self-remorse because you did it again. You soothed it with food. You told yourself you weren't going to do that anymore. So now on top of the bad feeling, you've got guilt. Who has not been there? When you add the food, you might add to your original upset. Like I said, you caved and you did what you told yourself you weren't going to do anymore. Criticize, criticize, criticize. Point the finger at yourself. We got to stop pointing the finger at ourselves. And then, of course, reaching for food defies your best judgment. When you're in the middle of one of these emotional eating episodes, it's really challenging to apply logic to the situation because you can't. You have to have a plan. And I'll teach you a little bit about some things that you can use, some tools that you can use. To allow yourself to read them or look at them. Because when you're in the middle of one of those episodes, it's that lizard brain getting control. And if you could shift that attention to something that you can read or look at to remind you of the logical thing to do, you can do it. But if you don't have a tool like that, it's just going to be the emotions get control and you keep doing it. So in order to get out of the lizard brain, I created something I call the portable anchor system. And this helps you to shift into a relaxed mode. Relaxed brains make logical comparisons and informed choices. Lizards can't compare and contrast, but high-level thinking or humans can. So what's an example? You're going to get out of your lizard brain. Well, if you have like an index card you carry, or a sticky note, or a photograph of that beautiful place you love to go to, it's going to trigger you to take some breaths, apply the heart math techniques, go into appreciation, and you'll be able to get at that higher level thinking part of your brain and make a better choice. The portable anchor can be an index card where you either write or put a picture of what your big goal is, what that big goal is that you're working towards. And when you're in that lizard mode, you look at that, it goes, okay, I can do this, I can do this. It helps to shift you out of that mode. When you're in the middle of an emotional eating episode or the urge to emotionally eat, do something just a little bit different. Like I said, you can reach for one of these portable anchors, a picture, a photograph, a sticky note, an index card, an item, like, you know, a little heart. I have this beautiful heart that someone gave me. It's made out of stone. And I can put it in my hand and I can hold it and I can feel the energy of the stone, and it's the shape of a heart. And it reminds me to get connected to my heart. And do something different. Pause just enough to start a dialogue with yourself. So that picture or that word reading causes you to interrupt long enough to be able to start a conversation, to remember what the word means or the words mean. And then ask yourself some honest questions about what you can do different. And when you do this, the more you do this, the more you learn to intercept at the first sign of danger. Before you can start to intercept, I recommend that you get in the mode of creating these new responses on a daily basis. So the heart math technique I taught you, breathing, appreciation, do it 3-5 times a day. I like to do it with every meal and at the beginning and the end, before breakfast and or before you get out of bed and after you go into bed. You can do it when you brush your teeth. You can have signs around on your mirrors. Say, breathe, appreciate. On your refrigerator, in your car, on your computer screen. When you can intercept at the first sign of danger, you're going to thwart off the emotional eating pattern. And you know what? Having these things in place are going to help you to thwart off at the first sign of danger, big time. So here are a few of my ideas for comforting actions to replace comforting foods. Hot bath with lavender oil. I mentioned that earlier. Meditative music. Wow, just put on some music. Music has a way of shifting the brain processing. If you have an inspirational speaker that you'd like to listen to, you know, a Stephen Covey or Wayne Dyer or anybody that you find inspiring, call a friend. Make a pact with a friend. Maybe there's another friend who also has an emotional eating challenge, and you can agree with each other to talk to each other. Head it off at the pass. This is done in 12-step programs a lot because people have sponsors. When they start to feel themselves going down, like if they're an alcoholic or Overeaters Anonymous, they can call their sponsor. And when you can call your sponsor, it helps you to shift. It just interrupts enough to help you. Journaling is great. If you happen to be somebody who likes to write and can get those feelings out, just write and write and write and express your feelings. You don't have to show it to anyone. A hobby is a good thing. I love to paint. I like to leave a little easel set up in my bedroom with some watercolors. Neat. Maybe you have a coin collection. You can just go and try looking at your coin collection and adding to it. You know, maybe it's writing. Maybe it's throwing pottery. Maybe it's drawing pictures, whatever it is. Maybe it's a sport. Maybe it's going out and throwing a ball, throwing baskets, running down the street, taking a swim. Express gratitude and focus on your breathing. Big pieces, and that's part of the heart math system. And then visualize a time and place that brought you pleasure. The last three are the heart math system. Focus on your breathing, express gratitude, and focus on a time that brought you pleasure or a time that will be bringing you pleasure in the future, especially if you don't put on that extra weight from all that emotional eating. Here's an exercise for you. You spend some time in quiet contemplation and fill in the blanks, okay? This is my emotional eating strategy, and you're welcome to take this and find a quiet time for yourself and fill in the blanks. Identify the feelings, circumstances, or problems that trigger you to eat emotionally. Name the foods that you generally eat as a result. Make a note of how you usually feel physically after eating these foods. Do you feel bloated? Do you feel gassy? Do you feel excited? How do you feel emotionally? Do you feel guilty? That's one of the main ones is guilt. Do you feel happy? Do you feel joyful? Do you feel depressed? Do you feel calm? Do you feel stimulated? What does eating these foods keep you from achieving in the long term? Maybe that's that ideal size 6 that you're working towards. Maybe it's climbing the mountain. Maybe it's going on a bike ride. Maybe it's hanging out with your kids and really having fun with them instead of watching them from the couch. Then ask yourself the question, does eating these foods solve the problem that triggered your emotional eating? Does eating a pound of chocolate solve the problem of your mother saying things that are critical to you? No. Does it solve the problem of you feeling less than when she does that? No. The only thing that's going to shift that is you deciding to shift that. The food isn't going to make a difference. And then what can you do instead to soothe the negative emotions? And that's the chart that I gave you just before, you know, take a bath, go for a walk. And as a result of the alternate activity, how do you feel? How do you feel when you take a nice hot bath with lavender? How do you feel when you engage in a favorite hobby? How do you feel when you go for a walk or hug your child or pet your pet? How do you feel? Isn't that the way you want to feel rather than the way you feel when you eat your favorite food? So here's the blank, and you can print this out and you can fill it in. When I feel blank, what's the emotion? When I feel angry, it drives me to eat chips. I usually end up feeling guilty, and I have the symptoms of bloated and gassy, which keeps me from being able to continue writing my book or play with my kids. Instead of reaching for the chips, I can take a hot lavender bath, and as a result, I'll feel peaceful, calm, and inspired. That's your emotional eating strategy. I recommend that you create an emotional eating strategy using this framework or add your own stuff to it as well. Carry it around with you. And until you feel like you can go it alone without the card, then you carry it around with you and you look at it. You interrupt just long enough to look at your card. It's going to shift you. You'll have it filled in. You'll remember, you recall. You can go into your heart breathing and the emotion of appreciation, your mini vacation,